It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
What's funny is that we are talking about razor blades before the show got started here. Scott and I were talking about the virtues of straight razor it's called?
Straight edge, yeah.
Straight edge. Mm-hmm. That's where you have the blade and that's it just between you and the world is that blade.
Like the old Bugs Bunny opera.
Oh, remember I that love one? That. The Barber of DeVille.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, well, speaking of cutting right to the chase.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
We're having a good time here. Scott, tell us something good about the market.
Well, Friday's market was really pretty boring. Nothing overly notable. Dow did not close above that
13,000. But we were over for a minute there.
Yeah, we snuck above it about mid-morning or so, but Dow closed on Friday down 1.67 points, 12,983. S&P up slightly, up 2 points to 13,65. NASDAQ up almost 7 points. Gold sold off. Down 11 to 1774, and oil, boy, oh boy, oil highest prices since May of last year, up almost $2 to 109.
Where's that Saudi oil we're supposed to be getting?
I don't know,
said something about like flipping a lever and they'd be pumping out more and they could keep, quote unquote, keep the oil at about $100 a barrel.
That's what they said, and they're starting to talk about strategic reserves again. So you remember the last time we had access to the strategic reserves, it gave us a good break on the price for a couple of hours, it seemed like.
It's really a political thing because there's not enough there, right? I mean, how much is there? It's not that much.
No, and even if it's an afternoon's worth of supply, something like that. So it's kind of worthless, but they're talking about it. Also on Friday, a couple of pieces of economic news. Consumer sentiment. We've got the second look from the University of Michigan number, 75.3, best level in almost a year. So consumer sentiment continues to get pretty good, but these oil prices can slap down consumer sentiment very quickly.
The politicians are already trying to slap down each other, preemptive strike. They want to make sure that they get to the other person. So the GOP, the Republicans are fighting amongst themselves about what they would do and how they would lower gas prices. And of course, they're all whacking at Obama, and Obama's whacking back. And so, you know, golly, we just got to get this energy independence thing figured out.
Yeah, a couple interesting things from the consumer sentiment number. A third of consumers spontaneously told surveyors that they are hearing about more job opportunities, which is interesting. They didn't have to be asked about it. And this is also interesting. Consumers' view of the economy is much stronger than their view of their own finances.
That's interesting.
Yep, they view the economy as pretty positive, but they view their possibility for improving finances only 27% of responders. That's down from 29% in January.
Well, speaking of jobs, let me get this in. There's a report out from the Wall Street Journal talking about a movement that's been growing in some of the different states about discrimination for hiring for people who have been long-term unemployed. And so what's happening is that, and this is really amazing, some companies are actually putting in their advertisements, if you have been long-term unemployed, don't bother applying. I even got a wrinkle of the nose from Lisa on that one.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. And so what's happening is some of the states are actually passing or attempting to pass legislation that allows that to be a discriminatory issue that people can sue for, or where in some states, let's see, Connecticut. Yeah, Connecticut's the one that's got it where it would be treated as a protected class of workers. And also California and Florida have a fine for the business where they're found to be discriminatory. California, $1,000. Florida, $10,000.
Why wouldn't you just want applicants from the best applicants you could get?
Well, that's logic, Scott. Right. You're exactly right. Now, here's what I think.
Forgive me.
This is ridiculous. It's silly. And I wrote some notes to myself to make sure I got it all in. Listen to this. Any business that is fool enough to put an ad in the paper or however they advertise saying, you know, long-haired hippies, women...
need not apply.
Need not apply. Yeah. Come on. Where are we? And so not long-term employed, need not apply. Well, if you do that, I think you deserve to be fined. Not for that, just for being stupid.
Yeah.
If a company's that dumb, and you said it right, if I were looking to hire somebody as an employer, and I would look at their resume and see what kind of history, look at them as a person, do the background checks, all that stuff. And it would not matter to me if they were unemployed. I don't really care how long.
Especially in the environment we've had the last couple of years.
But you know what I would ask? And this is something for people who are looking to get a job, and maybe this is their situation from an employer's perspective. I would ask them what they've been doing during that six-month period.
Yeah, that's
and if the
valid.
Answer is, well, you know, just kind of hanging out, laying on the couch, watching, I'm keeping up with my soaps. Well, that's not as good of an answer as, well, you know what I've done is I've gone back to school, or I've been working on my skills, or I've been doing this, or I've been doing that, or I'm volunteering, doing something besides laying around.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my take on this. We shouldn't have to legislate it, but if you're going to be that dumb to put an ad in, put the language that you're going to discriminate in your advertisement, you deserve to get a fine from the stupidity department. So anyway. But what's not stupid is we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll share more of what's happening in the financial world. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
And we are back, and we are going to get a few more numbers from Scott before we go to some translations of what's happening. What do you got there, Scott?
Well, Friday also announced new home sales. New home sales dropped 0.9%, seasonally adjusted annual rate of 320,000. That was a little bit of a disappointing number. You know, we're still seeing a lot of volatility in what I believe to be the bottom end of the housing decline. But it was interesting that there was so much discrepancy in the regions this time around. So January new home sales in the Northeast, 11.1%, 9.3% in the South, that's up, 11.1%, 9.3%, dropping 24.5% in the Midwest and dropping 10% in the West. And this is a month-over-month comparison. The difference between this January and last January in the North is significantly different. You can actually leave your house this year because they've had such a mild winter. So compared to last January, sales...
Why so rough in the West? Why so negative?
I think they have had a rougher winter. They've had some pretty big blizzards come through there. So the only reason I illustrate that is to just say that these monthly numbers can be...
They can jump around a lot.
Yeah, by stuff that you wouldn't even think of. So you really have to take this stuff into account as sort of an overall picture and not a month-by-month number. But looking at the week ahead, there are a fair number of economic announcements. Durable goods orders on Tuesday, Case-Shiller Home Price Index on Tuesday as well. We're expecting both of those to drop. We get our second look at GDP. We look at GDP three times before we get the final number. It's still expected to be 2.8. We get that on Wednesday as well as the beige book.
Is that for what, for February,
that's
January?
That's the second look at
or the last year.
January.
January, okay.
Jobless claims on Thursday. We're expecting 355,000 new claims on Thursday from 351 that we had last week. And then also ISM Manufacturing Index. So a fair number of pieces of economic news in the week upcoming. And we will finally wrap up earnings season for this quarter, which so far has been solidly average.
Okay. Well, speaking of GDP, the Eurozone, Wall Street Journal had a great report out talking about the Eurozone and the impact of their austerity measures. And I won't bore anyone with all the details, but what I look at when I look across the board here is pretty much a lot of the countries had higher GDP expectations back in the fall of 2011, and a lot of their expectations have been really ratcheted down.
Yeah, some have even gone from growth to contraction.
Exactly. That's the case for Spain.
Yeah.
Spain was looking for some actual expansion for 2012, and they've been knocked down. So a lot of this has to do with the impact, expected impact of their austerity measures. But that, you know, some of them, like Italy, a great example, they've passed four austerity packages in 2011 and cut 5% from their budget. And then they also did some stuff for 2012. So, you know, something's got to give.
Yeah, Italy's doing a better job than most. At least they're trying.
They might be doing a better job than we are.
Yeah.
Here's something else that I want to make sure we get to. I know you'll enjoy this. Buffett.
Oh, yeah.
Berkshire Hathaway,
He is just a media darling, is he not?
He is. I don't know. You know, maybe he's handing out, you know, stuff in everybody's shirt pocket with a $100 bill when he walks in the room.
Well,
I don't know.
Come here.
But, you know, the story of the Wall Street Journal out is basically the message is that Berkshire Hathaway, even though it's had some good results, the stock is lagging. And it's a huge conglomerate. What do they got? How many, $100 billion in that thing?
Yeah, it's also a very value-oriented investment, and we've been in a growth environment since October, but that's a pretty short outlook.
Well, I don't know if that's it. I'm a little, as we have the Cynics Club here, and my contribution to the Cynic Club today is I'm not sure if it's not some of the disappointing growth of that stock maybe is from lack of interest on the part of investment people, because it's, I'm sure, pretty well known. And if you don't know this, ladies and gentlemen, I'll share this with you, is that a lot of investment people are conservative, at least financially. They may not be on the social side, but definitely when it comes to taxes and all of that, investment people and financial people in general tend to be more conservative. Well, Mr. Buffett is far from that by telling everybody they need to pay more taxes, especially people that make more money. Well, the investment guys don't like that. So I don't think we can discount the impact of saying, I don't know if I want to buy any of that.
Yeah, it's not like he's the only girl at the dance. There's plenty of places to put money.
He is not, and there are a lot younger girls, because the other concern I think a lot of investors might have is that the management team, including Mr. Buffett, he's actually one of the younger ones.
Yeah.
There's another guy that I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's 88.
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, and Buffett's what, 80, 81?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just some interesting news. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I've got an interesting story for you about Senator Marco Rubio that I have to share after the break. Stay tuned.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back, and I promised before the break, and I said, Scott, stay for this. Scott's itching to get back to managing the portfolios. He's like, let me out of here. I got to get to work. Well, here's a story from USA Today, and it really struck me as funny, and then some of it got me a little annoyed, so I'll share both with you. First, there's a story out that Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio has got a book coming out, so of course he's, you know, promoting it, and he spent several years of his young childhood as a Mormon before converting to Catholicism when he was 13. So the interviews, yada, 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 his family was all went into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon, at age 8. And then later he did the Catholic thing. So, USA Today, the final chapter, let me read you this final paragraph. The untold chapter of the senator's life is particularly noteworthy as he is regularly mentioned as a potential contender for the vice president to be a ticket for whichever person is going to be the GOP nomination. And the fact that former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney's own Mormon faith has drawn considerable scrutiny. Okay, well, a couple things. Well, the main thing. Says who? From where has this scrutiny come about the Mitt Romney's Mormon faith?
I don't think anybody really cares.
No, nobody cares, but the media is trying to make him care.
Right.
Because between now and November, once he gets the official nomination, if he is the nominee, there's still more battles to go. But once he is, all of a sudden, we'll start seeing all kinds of stories in the paper. I'm forewarning you, ladies and gentlemen, about this Mormon, and they got 15 wives, and they're all treated badly, and they're bums. We'll hear all of this. I'm just preparing you. But I'd like to know who is scrutinizing, besides the media, it's a setup, and it's annoying, and it's stupid.
Well, that's probably why he wrote the book, to get it out there now and get it out of the way.
I think he'd make a great sidekick, VP for whoever's going to do it, but not my choice for me to decide, but I'm sure they'll figure out a way to make that nomination work. All right, Scott, I'm going to talk about CD rates. You can get back to work. Thank you,
all
sir.
All right, thank you.
All right. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, let me share with you latest numbers on CDs, and I'll tell you where I'm headed with this. CD numbers, listen to this. USA Today has a report out. 6 month CD, 0.2%, 0.5%. If you're daring enough to go 1 year, it's 0.33%. 2.5 years, you can get a whopping 0.5%. And ready for this drum roll, please. We'll have to get one of those, Lisa, okay? We love our sound effects. 5 year CD, 1.15%. So a scant, just a misting, just a drop over 1% for a 5 year CD. So what is a girl to do? Okay, well, here's what I'll tell you, girls and guys. I've said it before, you got to get the planning done. You need to see what else is available. And I am pleased to share with you, I told you about my new TV show, and you've heard me talk about it. And just, I've got a little spot, one of the breaks I take. Well, I've got the next show that's going to be airing, which is on the 27th. That is Monday the 27th. And that show is going to be about one of the alternatives to CDs for earning interest and making your money give you what you need. And it's going to be about annuities. And I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to translate it from Finglish to English, and tell you when they make sense, when they don't, and what they can be used for. And one of the things you need to keep in mind when you think about your CDs that are maturing, what was the purpose of those CDs to begin with? Was it a cash emergency fund? Was it for a reserve for long-term care in case you need it? Was it to have something you're going to use at some specific point? Was it to carry you until you could draw on something else for income? Or was it to this interest from CDs? Once upon a time, you were getting 5% or more on those, right? Wasn't that long ago. Well, you go from 5% on a five-year CD down to 1%. You can do the math as easily as I can. If you were getting $10,000 in interest, you're getting $2,000. And guess what? Your expenses have not gone down. So make sure you watch that, DVR it, record it, tape it, whatever works for you. It is on Channel 2, and that means that with WESH, you can watch it on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Bright House. Not a bad deal. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk to you some more about, I started talking about mutual funds, and I want to talk about how you can buy mutual funds, what the differences are and how to get them, the different types of mutual funds, A, B, C, do you know the difference, and when they make sense and when they don't, how to hire an investment advisor, and what to look for when you buy mutual funds, how to make sure you're getting the right kind of fund for your situation. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2.
Okay, we're back. And as promised, I'm going to talk about mutual funds. But real quick, before I do, I always keep my eye out for interesting articles or things that the magazines and newspapers are talking about. And this one struck me. I really liked it. It was called Four Money Etiquette Questions Answered. It was from Kiplinger. It's a difficult thing to pronounce. Anyway, from Kippy. And the thing that was really interesting, it talked about four or five, let's see, there are four different questions they answered. First is at a restaurant, you go out to dinner or you go to lunch and you just split the bill evenly. Well, what they say is that it's okay to ask for your own check, because sometimes, you know, somebody else might be, you might be ordering a salad and they might be ordering everything on the menu. So it's okay to say, you know, to the waiter, hey, look, can I have a separate check? Just draw them aside. That's okay. It's friends and family or whatever, and you're out regularly and you do about the same thing, that's fine. Let it be split however many ways. Here's an interesting one. You're asked at work to pitch in for a gift at the office, and let's say you don't really like the person, okay? Well, it's okay to say, no, thank you. I'd rather not participate. It's okay to say no. Don't. If you feel the pressure, find HR or the owner of the company. How about this one? A friend asks you to support his or her favorite cause. Well, you got to be careful with this one. If you have committed otherwise, or you just don't want to give to that charity, or you don't like that charity, you have to be polite and tell your friend or whoever it is that you have already committed your charitable dollars. If they have given to one of your causes where you've asked for money and they've done it for you, guess what? You don't really have a choice, not unless you want to lose a friend or a business relationship. And here's the one I really wanted to get to. A family member asked for a loan, and you're not really comfortable loaning that money to that person for whatever reason. Maybe you don't think they'll pay it back. Then you need to figure out a couple things. You can either say, I don't mind coaching you or advising you, but I really don't feel comfortable. Just be candid as you can be. Straight up say, I don't feel comfortable. I'm afraid if things go bad, it'll damage our relationship. If you do decide to do it, make it as formal as possible. Here are the payments. Here's the interest rate. And here's all these things you can do. Now, there are a couple of resources that I read about that will kind of handle the administrative part of it so you don't have to deal with this friend or family. LendingKarma.com, LoanBack.com, Prosper.com. These are a couple of the websites that I saw that had support services. Lending Karma, LoanBack, and Prosper, each of those .coms that can help you, you know, take care of that and make it easy if you do want to make that loan. Okay, anyway, I found that interesting. I want to share that with you. All right, let me talk now a little bit about mutual funds. There are three ways for you, as I've talked on previous shows, about mutual funds being popular, and we like them from an investment standpoint. A lot of our investment portfolios at my company, Holland Financial, we invest for our clients where they're paying us a fee to manage their money. We do a lot with mutual funds, no-load funds, and also with ETFs, electronically traded funds that are more passive. They're basically an index or a very targeted portfolio. Not much. There's no management. It goes on inside the fund. Or we might use some stocks and bonds and things like that directly investing. So we think they're a good choice. There's 26,000 mutual funds. There's a lot of them. There's $25 trillion in them globally. Well, how do you get them? Now, there's a couple ways. One I just mentioned, which is to hire an investment advisor. And when I say that, I'm talking specifically about a company that is registered as an investment advisor either in their state or at the federal level. And what you're doing is basically saying, here, I'm going to pay you a percentage of the account for you to manage my money. And then what happens is they will deduct that fee from your account each quarter, whatever you've agreed to with them, and they will pick the funds. They're not going to call you every 10 minutes and say, okay, can I buy this? Okay, can I buy that? They're going to say, here's what we're going to manage. Here's the target objective. This is going to be growth or it's going to be income. And then they'll buy the stuff. And usually when that's done, the investment advisor charges between 1% to 2%. That's pretty much the industry average. There was a report that was out the other day that said that the average fee charge for all money across the board, excuse me, is about 1.4%. So the average is about in the middle. It's between 1 and 2. And the more you have, the less the percentage. The less you have, the higher the percentage. So hiring an investment advisor can be an efficient way of working to have your money managed. And it also, you're hiring that person to act in a fiduciary capacity, which means they have to put your interest first. They can't, you know, pick something for another reason. They've got to pick that fund or those investments because they think they're the best for you, period. There's two other ways to get mutual funds, and I'll tell you about them right after the break.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right. Well, so what are the other two ways you can buy mutual funds besides hiring an investment advisor? Now, I'm biased. We work as an investment advisor, so I think that's the way to do it. But two other choices. The next choice is to do it yourself. There are no-load mutual funds, a whole bunch of them, and many of them market directly to the consumer. If you pick up a Money magazine or some of the other magazines in the grocery store or gas station, wherever it is, a lot of these are do-it-yourselfers. And so a lot of those magazines, you know, I have a saying, and I'm not the only one that said this, I know, is follow the money. And so if you open up these magazines, you'll see articles that are written, but there is an ad in that magazine that'll be for no-load mutual funds and other investments that are for do-it-yourselfer kind of people. Nothing wrong with doing that. If you have the time, the energy, the expertise, the interest in learning about the intricacies of how to manage your money, then have at it. There are resources available online, especially, where you can go and you can manage these monies yourself. And you can pick the funds. You can go to a Vanguard, a Fidelity, companies like that that are mutual funds where you can invest directly with them. Or you can go to some other types of brokerage accounts that cater to self-help for the individual investor, the Ameritrade, TD Ameritrade, the Fidelity, the Charles Schwab. There's different ones that E-Trade, Scottrade. There's a variety of these that are set up to help allow the individual to be able to invest for themselves. So that's an option. But I caution everybody that when doing that, you have to have the aptitude, the interest, the time, and the patience, and the mental fortitude to be able to handle that investing, especially when things get dicey. You know, we see people saying, you know, maybe I do need some help when things get rough. When things are doing well, people say, well, what do I need an advisor for? This is easy. You know, all I got to do is just pick a fund and it's going to go up forever. And of course, that's a cycle. And we see that. And we saw a lot of that in the late 90s that, you know, that people really got bullish. And well, everybody thought they could do it. Same thing happened in real estate, that everybody got into doing real estate. But anyway, that's an option. Now, the other option is to hire or work with a stockbroker, also called a registered representative of a broker-dealer. Wirehouses, stock brokerage firms, registered representatives, these are all financial advisors that sell mutual funds for a commission. And there are three types of mutual funds primarily that these type of financial professionals work with. There are the A, the B, and the C. And what happens with each of those is that the broker is paid a commission by the fund company to sell that fund to their customer. And so what happens, for example, with the A share, let's say you put in money, $100. I'll just use $100 for simple math. You put $100 into this A share mutual fund. The A share mutual fund is going to charge you about 5%, is going to come off the top, and only $95 gets invested into the fund, and then $5 goes to the broker. That is a way to get access to the mutual funds and to pay the broker for them to guide you on which funds. Also similar is the B share. And the B share mutual fund, or B class mutual fund, can be the exact same fund as the A share, but offered by the same fund family. But instead of charging a haircut or this commission off the top that goes to the broker, all $100 goes into the fund and goes to work. But the fees are higher. They're about 1% higher per year for a period of time. And if you come out early out of the fund, then there's a charge, just like a surrender charge. And the broker gets paid about the same thing, 4 or 5%. So A and B share mutual funds are very similar. The difference is whether or not your money goes to work, right? All of it goes to work right away, or if only the net amount after paying the broker the commission is deducted. Either way, it ends up being about the same thing. It's just kind of a timing thing because the B share costs more than the A share each year. Third type is called a C share. And this is basically the way the mutual funds have created a way to compete with investment advisors. And what happens is that the broker does not get a large commission up front, but they get an annual commission each year from the C-share mutual fund by the fact that the C-share fund charge you extra 1%. So if the fund normally costs 1, it's a C-share, you got to pay 2% a year. 1 goes to the fund, 1 goes to the broker. That's basically how it works. So those are the three ways to get mutual funds on your own, with an investment advisor, or through a broker. And that's all we have time for today. Join us next time.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.